Live and local on AM 770 KTTH. Your independent conservative host, Todd Herman, welcomes you to The Todd Herman Show.
The day the Lord has made, and I'm thankful for an opportunity to try to be better, to do better, to help people, to help myself become a better human being and a better servant in that regard. We'll talk more about the breaking news that the Manhattan District Attorney's Office, which is a completely politicized office, will probably get access. The Supreme Court has said they're entitled to subpoena and get access to the president's financial records. Those records will leak. They will be given to the liberal press. They will drip, 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 drop selective pieces of that throughout this election process. It's so weird that all this stuff is happening during the election. The hoax response to the virus, it is a hoax response at this point. I could spend the next 6 hours debunking this hoax response to a virus, which is very much like the flu, very much like a common cold. And I'm sorry. I've waited for the evidence. I was so patient when this started. For 3 days, I didn't say a political thing about Jay Inslee's lockdown, even though all my senses said, this doesn't seem right. Day four, I started to say, this is a swindle. And as the evidence changed, it all went in one direction. That was to make the COVID seem worse. And at that point, I started to say, wow, I smell a political swindle here. Right. And from there on out, I could do 6 hours on that. I could do another 6 hours on the selective prosecution of President Trump. So we'll talk about that. There are local stories, though, that are absolutely stunning. One of the problems with living in an area that has one party control and a party that has taught people to dox people and chase people around and to, as Barack Obama used to say, look, I need you to get up on their faces. This is what people do. And joining us now is Jed. He lives out in the Kirkland area. Jed, welcome to the Todd Herman Show.
Thanks, Todd.
It's a pleasure to have you here. Tell people what's going on in your home. This is nuts. This is crazy.
Well, we support our president, and we're real happy with the job that he was doing prior to this COVID pandemic. And so, let's see, last weekend, or 2 weekends ago, we decided to plant a garden in our public easement, which we are required by the city code, the municipal code, to maintain. So we made a nice garden plan and planted some red petunias in the shape of the four letters MAGA and spelled out MAGA for the sidewalk.
That is support for the president. And I mean, Kirkland is a reasonable area. There's no extremists in Kirkland. So I was really surprised about what started happening and how it ramped up. Because what's going on with you, this isn't joke stuff anymore. So let's talk about what started happening at your home and how this has progressed.
Absolutely. So we went out on Saturday night and planted our garden. Within 24 hours, a gentleman walked by and took a photo of our flowers so that you could read it. Really, there's only one place you can read it, and that's right directly in front of the flowers on our side of the street. Otherwise, it just looks like a beautifully planted sidewalk easement. He took a photo. The next day, same time, he comes back with his wife to show her in person. She threw her hands on her head. She was obviously triggered by our flowers. And within another 24 hours, she had posted a picture of our garden with identifying information, the street name, which is not a very long street, and also a description of the house so that people could easily identify it. Her post indicated that she wasn't sure if it was legal or not, and she understood posting things on our own property. But when it came to public property, this really made her flip her lid.
Wow. This is incredible. So she decides it is her business to dox you in your family because you had the audacity to express this opinion in this way. This is incredible. And this is, like, yeah. So far, there's the MAGA. So far, there's the, you know, your decision to express yourself politically in a city. Let's not kid ourselves. Everywhere there's expressions of love for Barack Obama and the left and leftist things. And then there's this thing I see all the time: coexist. We see that all the time, but it doesn't stop there. It gets worse at your house, no. Chad. Is that correct?
Yeah. So she posted to a local neighbor group. And there's several of them in town, but this particular one has almost 18,000 members. Quickly, her post went viral. It within several hours, it garnered over 700 comments. And if you go through the comments, there's a lot of them that talk about bringing your dogs there to poop on the lawn. You know, no big deal. And then it kind of ramps up to what we call the mowing and weed whacking posts. And then there's some that are more extreme. Call Antifa, have them take care of this. This needs to be ripped out at night. This needs to be burnt down. It got a little bit disturbing. And what's interesting is when you read through the comments of her post, you know, she's aware of what she was doing, because she does respond and she's active on the post, but she decides, even once the Kirkland Municipal Code is posted online and the administrator of the group explains that it's legal, including there's a city council member that posted on there that says that it's within law, and why don't we just plant our own flowers to express our own opinions instead of trying to hinder the First Amendment rights of those who express theirs, which seems to be a common occurrence. But I'll tell you what, Todd, within 7 hours of her post going live on Facebook, in this group of 18,000 residents, we had our first occurrence, and it happened about 11:30. And three girls first drove by the house and drove back, parked down the street. It seemed a little odd. They turned around just as they passed the house, and then about 6, 7, 8 minutes later, they came stalking the house. Came from across the street, looked around, and then proceeded to try to dodge. It looked like they tried to dodge our security cameras, and then started to rip out flowers one by one. So their technique was interesting, but they got a few flowers out, and then, you know, we choose sporadic times to water the garden, so we did hit her with the garden hose. And the three girls ran off, but not before Kirkland Police Department caught up with them. So they were on their way back to their car. I notified them of where I believe they may have parked. And those three girls were detained. And it was determined, at least by one officer at the time, that those were the individuals in the video.
Wow. All right. So we've gone from planting of flowers to a woman coming by your home, taking a picture because she's so triggered and so offended that you've expressed yourself at your home. And she posts your address, a description of your house, and basically how to get there. We've gone now to threats to use weed whackers on your property, but send Antifa. And this woman is, and she knows what she started. She's not stopping anything. We get girls coming in cars at night to destroy the flowers, and the police are involved. But Jed, you said in Kirkland this was your first occurrence. So there's more.
Yeah, that was just the first occurrence. Todd, you're not going to believe this. So, you know, as soon as the police arrived, you know, and got photos of the damage, I quickly pieced back the garden. Of course, when you rip out newly planted flowers, it's unlikely that they're going to survive, at least not in the way that they would have had they been undisturbed. I take great care in gardening. I am an avid gardener, and so these flowers get deadheaded every day and watered and fertilized. So, you know, for me, I knew that this wasn't the last occurrence, and so I wanted to make sure that this kind of stuff doesn't happen again. I wanted to make the poster aware of what she was doing in an effort to maybe convince her to take down the post. But, you know, I'm all for freedom of speech. So if she decided that she wanted to leave it up, that was for her. The administrator in the group had removed several comments that identified the house. So like a gentleman that I am, I decided to deliver a poem and some flowers to the original poster at her home address. And if I have a second, Todd, I'd like to read you the poem that I wrote her. Is that okay?
Yeah.
So I won't mention her name because I'm not in the business of doxing individuals. But it says, roses are red, violets are blue. Your Facebook post led to vandalism last night at the home of immigrants, a gay and a Jew. The police were called and three young girls caught. Now you've ruined their lives and that's all they've got. They'll appear in court and have to pay damages and costs. Hopefully it's the last incident you've caused, but I imagine that it's not. It's always better to honor people's freedom of speech instead of believing the lies of the fake news and the Hollywood elite. Maybe you'll learn something today, but I'm guessing you will not. We'll be dealing with the continued repercussions of the post you made without giving it any thought. Unfortunately, the vandalism will continue, but we're keeping track. Ultimately, the responsibility for any and all damages rests solely on your back. And I signed it MAGA. So 12 hours later, Todd, you're not going to believe this, okay? So somewhere in these posts, it says, you know, in the Kirkland Code, if the homeowner wishes to plant it however they want to match their landscape, whatever, it's up to them. However, there are limitations. You cannot have a tripping hazard, and you can't do something that's permanent. Otherwise, the city would be able to come and remove that. So given the fact that tripping is a cause for removal, our next vandal came in broad daylight. Now, I just finished deadheading, watering the flowers, and I went inside. I didn't actually see this occur in real time. I saw it about 15 minutes later on our security footage. But a jogger comes down the street, does this like Oscar-winning act of tripping over the flowers, but he looks more like a field goal kicker or a soccer player as he tramps through the garden, kicking flower after flower after flower, goes through the garden bed, does a ballerina turn, comes back, kicks it again, and then runs back through, kicks it again, gives me a double finger to the camera. So he knew he was being recorded. It wasn't, he didn't care, and runs down the street. So I go in the house. I see what's happened here. This is a little bit disturbing. I called the police again, gave them a description of the man, and then I proceeded to go out to the garden and to replace the damage after I took some photographs to get those roots back in the soil so they didn't dry out. It was warm that day. And so I put the garden back together. We have a bunch of friendly neighbors who do stop and chat. And the love of my life was outside with me. And we were just finishing up putting everything back together. And she spots the vandal running back down the same street. It's like, you know, the criminals go back to the scene of the crime. So he comes running down the street. She puts her arms out, says, "Hey, stop. The police are looking for you." He runs into her, okay? And he's at a pretty decent
rate. He assaults her?
Well, yeah, he runs into her, right? I'm gonna not say that he assaulted. We're not charging it for assault for that. But he runs into her, manages to step through the garden again. This time he missed a lot of flowers, so that's good. But I'm there. I've got my phone out. I want a better photo of this guy or some video. And so I'm fumbling around with my phone, and he gets beside me, but he's still running. And so I take off next to him. So I'm running in the bike lane. He's running down the sidewalk. A neighbor sees what's going on. So a neighbor gets in his car, And I'm just tracking the guy. Now I'm on the phone with 911, giving the police his location. They had some more important stuff to do. I think there's a stabbing that day and some other stuff going on. So they're not directly in the area, but I'm going to track this guy. They can't do anything unless they catch up with him. So I run down, down the street. I'm in the bike lane. He's on the sidewalk. And I just track him. He actually says, oh, let's see if you can keep up. Oh, please, come on, man. I ask him, is this all you can do? You know, I'm ready for some exercise today. So we get down downtown Kirkland and still in pursuit. I'm sorry. So the neighbor comes. He pulls his car off, gets out and says, hey, stop, buddy. Now, this guy, my neighbor's 65 years old, right? Great guy. Gets out of the car. This guy starts swinging at him. Okay, so now this is turning into assault. Okay, starts swinging at him. My neighbor takes him down in the middle of the crosswalk. Okay, and I'm there, and I'm on the phone with 911. I'm giving him a play-by-play. I say he's punching my neighbor in the face, and my neighbor had him under control, telling the guy these tattoos don't make you tough. And his free hand is still playing. So I grab his free hand and just restrain him against the ground. Because we're in the middle of the street and cars are stopped and there's people on their balconies, and whenever I go fix my flower garden, I put on my Keep America Great hat and my Keep America Great sweatshirt. So now I'm thinking, I look around and there's all these people with their phones out. And I'm thinking, oh, great, the headline's on CNN. MAGA country beats up peaceful gardener, right? So I'm thinking, let's get him out of the street. So we say, hey, listen, we reason with the guy. Why don't you just, we'll let you up. Why don't you just wait until the police come, okay? So we let him up, and of course, he takes off running again. So I followed him down a little further, and eventually he calls the cops. And he says, not only did two men assault him, this is what he's telling the cops, but he also tripped over some flowers. Luckily, by then, I had the video of the incident. I had the video of the incident recorded on my phone. So the first thing the cop takes his statement and then comes up. I show him the video. And he says, well, he didn't trip. He looks like he's playing soccer. So I overheard the conversation. And he tells the guy, look, a good way is to start this is not by lying to us. So anyway, they sorted that out. I appreciate the service of the Kirkland Police Department. They do a great job, very professional. And I was happy to see that this guy was caught as well. So that's vandal number one, vandal number two. And these guys, according to conversation that I had with the Kirkland Police, they will be charged. All these people who've been caught will be charged with malicious mischief. Because it can't keep happening. You know, if they don't get charged, they tell their friends they're going to do it. So I'm really thankful for the Kirkland City here. Looks like it was a big group decision to make sure that these people are held responsible.
Good.
That was just so 12 hours later, Todd.
I just want to tell you, we got like 3 minutes left. You are a terrific storyteller. So I don't want to harsh your buzz. You're a terrific storyteller. We've got about 3 minutes left. Jed is with us. He's from Kirkland and planted some flowers that said MAGA. Just continue telling your great story. I'm just giving you a heads up on the time.
Yeah. So 12 more hours later, two guys came by in the middle of the night, about 2:00 AM. We were up, we had our hand on the hose. They came, they cased the house first. They came back, started kicking. My partner sprays them with the hose, and these people, they didn't actually catch these guys. But when one guy ran off, he did a face plant right there on the road. And I think justice was served. So that was good. I would love to read you the poems. I don't think you have time, but we will be posting those on our Twitter page at MAGA_flowers. It's MAGA Flowers is the Twitter account. You can see all those videos there in the next few days. We started a GoFundMe to help replace the flowers, and all of the videos of the vandalization are on our GoFundMe page at MAGA Flowers. So the last incident, I shouldn't say last. So there are two more incidents. The next incident, I'm returning from the nursery with new flowers. It looks like my flowers have been driven over. So I review the footage. I literally pulled away from the street And the car I pulled in front of actually made a U-turn. They saw me leave the house. They made a U-turn and drove right over my flower bed. Now, that guy's license plate was a little bit harder to read, but we have identified him, and he's also going to be charged. So the final incident happened just right before 4th of July. We're sitting there just about midnight, and a car turns around, and they threw a flashbang, a Class G explosive, at our front door. So this is really, it's escalated. It's gotten to the point of what I would refer to as domestic terrorism. I don't think things are going to stop happening, but when they do, we're going to catch video of that. We're going to get assistance from our Kirkland Police Department, and hopefully all these bad guys that are doing vandalism to people's gardens will be getting charged with malicious mischief.
Incredible. Incredible. So at @mega_flowers on Twitter, I will go retweet that from the station's show page, and I'll do it from mine as well. And love for people to see those videos. Love to see the GoFundMe go well. Unbelievable. Stay safe and keep ramping up the defense. And it might be that you need to invite some Special Forces people out, maybe just to spend a night or two there. But it sounds like the Kirkland Police got it handled. Unbelievable. Thank you for sharing that with us, Jed. And thank you for standing your ground. It's a rare thing for people
absolutely
on their day. I love it. Maybe we'll just get bigger flowers and grow mega trees. Appreciate you coming on, Jed. Thanks for coming on the Todd Herman Show.
Thanks, Todd.
All right, we'll continue on the Todd Herman Show, AM 770 KTTH. We'll come back and get to your text messages and look at the national scene as well. Pelosi just tweeted out as regards the Supreme Court's decision to allow the Eastern District of Manhattan District Attorney Office to subpoena the financial and tax records of President Trump. She just said, this proves once again that no one is above the law. That's Nancy Pelosi speaking. Now, I mean, you know, no one's above the law except for illegal immigrants. But then there's, you know, drug dealers that come into the country illegally, and then Barack Obama. Well, I mean, there was the thing with Obama where he stopped the indictment of narco terrorists who were working with Hamas and the Taliban to smuggle drugs into our country across the southern border and through the tunneling system. Illegal immigrants. I mean, so Nancy Pelosi says no one's above the law, but I mean, illegal immigrants, the Hamas and the Taliban and narco terrorists. But I mean, it's the people in Chaz, right there, the Antifa stand, they're, you know, above the law. And actually, it's not just that. Then people who tear down public statues and vandalize public property and private property, burn police cars, burn down cities, they're above the law. But I don't think she was. Oh, but then there's Hillary Clinton and a couple hundred national security felonies. Those are illegal. Those felonies, those things are illegal. But Nancy Pelosi was saying, I think the point that she's trying to make is that no one is above the law except for all the other, the people who are above the law. They're above the law, but not no one. Well, oh, I see what she means. Donald Trump has his own laws. There's laws that apply to Trump and no one else. All right. So what she meant to say is Donald Trump is not above the laws that they apply to Donald Trump. I think that's what she meant to say. She's famous for misspeaking. So let's just give her the benefit of the doubt that this is just another occurrence where she said, for instance, that 3 billion Americans die every 10 minutes because of no unemployment. Suggestion. Every single time one of these things happens, if you can afford it, make a great, big, huge donation to Trump's reelect fund. And I'm perfectly comfortable saying this. I've said for years, I don't want the cult of the presidency. Said that for years. I'm very comfortable saying there's aspects of the president's personality with which I'm uncomfortable. Perfectly comfortable saying that. there's policy decisions he's made that I don't agree with. I didn't agree with the shutdown. Still don't. And I will not reward this disgusting selective prosecution. I will not allow the media to pick my president. I will not reward the illegal spying on Americans, the setup of General Flynn, the setup of George Papadopoulos. I will not reward it. I will not pretend that Joe Biden, though senile, is harmless. Joe Biden, we'll get into this next week. Joe Biden has released a plan that will effectively do away with the suburbs. Oh, it's a fever swamp conspiracy. No, it's not. Barack Obama started the process, affirmatively furthering fair housing. Do you remember this? This is where they pick up populations of people and they move them. He did this. He moved people from Illinois to Iowa and said to Iowa, you will use your federal housing funds for these people or you won't have any. And he said to the people in Illinois, you're moving. I am moving you. I'm not going to pretend that Joe Biden is harmless. I'm not going to pretend that because he's senile, he doesn't have people surrounding him with radicalism. They have released plans to go on federal road diets. That they want to make it harder for you to live in rural spaces. And in rural spaces, they intend to use a federal mandate to outlaw single family home areas. Outlaw them. They've released plans to insert in rural areas urban environments. So if you don't give up living in a rural area because of the road diets, they'll bring the cities to you. Because they know this creates voting blocks. So I'm sorry to say this to the media and to others. All the aspects of the president's personality that's bought into his stock that exists from day one. I've watched the policies and 90% of them I'm very, very happy with. I've grown to be far more comfortable in understanding Donald Trump as a human being and what he says and means and says and doesn't mean and style. And I've grown to have comfort with that. I've looked at his judicial nominees. He got stabbed in the back today by Kavanaugh. Kavanaugh can say, hey, I'm following the law. There's a defense to be made there. But his court nominees across the courts are life-changing. Nancy Pelosi to say no one's above the law when her entire city of San Francisco is lawless. Portland is lawless. Last night in Portland, Antifa's types surrounded a car and started beating on it. There were shots fired and the cops did nothing. Because they're not allowed to do anything. Antifa is above the law. Remarkable moments in which we live. All right, let's get to the text messages. 800-465-8770. Doesn't need to be a paragraph. Do we appreciate complete sentences? Plus, give yourself a nickname, please. Maui Kevin, talking about the interview we just did with Jed from Kirkland, who put up the mega flowers, and an increasing series of bizarre attacks against his household and the flowers. He's catching all these on video. The Kirkland police are pressing charges. Love to hear that. Maui Kevin says, I love this guy. Yeah, Jed was great. Great storyteller. Tom K, why not charge these vandals with a hate crime? It's occurred as those trying to paint over BLM mural on the pavement. That's a great point. People tried to paint over a BLM a mural on the pavement are going to be charged with a hate crime. Well, what about this? Oh, I guess it's not a racial thing, right? But isn't it? Jed's interview, Hysteria 51, this guy should sue the lady. Yeah, the lady who went and doxed him effectively, saying, hey, here's where the house is located. On the topic of hatred for the police, Sarge in Woodinville. Toddy, why do you hate me? You can't play the... You can't play, he writes, the idiot savant Kasharma Sawant while I'm eating breakfast, bro. Sorry about that. Yeah, we talked earlier in the show that there's a bunch of people that I legitimately think the Seattle police should create a list to say, Tammy Morales, you want it? You want depolicing? Let's start with you. Shama Sawant, you want depolicing? Let's start with you. Molly Moons, which is a leftist agitation, a Marxism center, and it also serves ice cream. They've said cops can't come in with their guns. Put them on a list. We are not responding to calls to your location. In fact, you know what? This is absolutely what they should do. The Seattle police should deliver that to their store, a sign that says in an official police stamped sticker, Seattle Police Department will not respond to any calls at this location. And if we had a sheriff, and we don't, I'm so disappointed in Mitzi Johechnik. I've never been more disappointed in a politician. Mitzi Johechnik has proven herself to be an utter liar and a servant of the left. If we had a sheriff, you could put up a King County Sheriff sticker saying, King County Sheriff will not respond to calls at this location. You know what? If someone would create those, you know what would be fun is to go out with a citizen's brigade and ask to hang them up. And put a logo that's similar to the sheriff, similar to the police, and see if they'll do that. Also on the hatred of police, J-Dog from Tacoma. Todd, it actually baffles me that no conservative leaders are holding press conferences in response to Sawant's threats to businesses to tell her if she continues to push socialist views on us, the American people, our real patriots who love this country, are going to fight back against the very radical policies she and her constituents support. You make a great point, and let me expand on this. Long ago, the Republicans said, well, it's just Seattle. They did. Well, we can't win there. Let's not fight. And then it was just South Seattle. And then it was just Burien. And then it was just Renton. And then the seeds were planted in Tacoma, but it was just downtown Tacoma. The Democrats treat politics like a military campaign. They grab territory, they treat it as a forward operating base, and they expand. If you're listening on the podcast or streaming outside of Washington State, for instance, in Idaho, you better contain Boise. You better make the leftists pay for every inch in Boise. You better start exposing them now in Boise. You had better get down and fight in Boise. Are you going to see what happens in Oregon, Portland, metastasized? They'll do it from Boise on out. You've seen what they're doing to Montana, etc. You must make them pay for everything. Tugboat Tim on the hatred of police. Todd, an oft-heard quote from Combi Sawant, correctly, she actually called for the overthrow of the United States. That's a federal felony. How do we get her arrested? Well, what she said was overthrowing your capitalist system. And you're right. She is calling for an overthrow of the United States government. She will say the capitalist system, and she would say, oh, I didn't say the government. I said the capitalist system. She said the system. So it's clear that she wants to overthrow the United States of America is what she wants to do. And by the way, she's paid to do this. And this is Seattle. And this is why Seattle deserves what Seattle gets. I hate to say that. I do. My home of 32 years. I hate to say it, but honestly, you guys are voting for this. You deserve every inch of Antifa-stan. Right? And yeah, there were children murdered there. Those are your murders. If you vote for Shama Sawant, you vote for leftists like Jenny Durkin, your hands are not clean on this. It's clear as day what's coming when you install leftists into jobs that are really about traffic lights and city taxes. And yet they turn them into jobs about agitation and leftism. Incredible. The schools remaining closed. Headline should read, Fauci struggles to stay relevant. I wish that's right. That's from R. Since Reagan. Thank you very much. Child of God. Incredible time to be a parent. The media and soon the schools are pushing the narrative that we're afraid of the police and ultimately any authority. It's also very difficult to watch other parents happily wear their woke masks and no doubt tell their children the very scary unseen virus is going to kill them. It's ridiculous. It is. And there is a massive reset of society coming. Massive. we've been talking about the process of destabilizing and taking down societies. Normalization, when it comes, it's going to be nothing like normal. Chris Rakedal, who is Chris Rakedal is in my judgment, policy wise, the most poisonous person in the history of schools. Policy wise. Apparently, he intends to segregate the schools upon coming back. Children of color, so-called, first to come in. Then children experiencing homelessness. Then traditionally marginalized. And eventually they get around to other groups. Here's what the message is. Keep with us. We're going to change things. We're going to give you revenge. And kids don't want revenge. Kids want to be kids. Watch the societal reset they intend to install post-election. Watch. On BLM, is this not our Salem witch trials moment times two? COVID-19 and BLM Incorporated. Appreciate you calling out the group, making sure that we separate the fact that Black Lives do matter. BLM Incorporated included hysteria. I do wonder if truth, love, and redemption will prevail in this country again. We should pray for all of it. Sometimes it seems like things are out of control, and then I want to remind myself that God doesn't lose battles, doesn't lose wars. Steve from Ohio. Todd, Steve here. My future ex-wife saw a political ad where Trump and Biden where Trump said Biden wants to defund the police. This is a lie. Biden wants to give the police more money. The Democrat Party wants to defund the police. Trump is stirring the pot to divide the party from Biden. It's legal to lie in political ads. People are smart enough to know if Biden's party is in favor of something, he will be eventually. Good job, Steve. Thanks, Zap. Appreciate you. Steve's been with us since he heard us first on the Rush Limbaugh Show. It's good to hear from you, Steve. Thanks very much. Dems love the shutdown bullfrog. Without victims, they have no power. That's absolutely true. Crabwalker on the COVID cases, testing. They were careless with their inner inferences, which really means they're sorry they told us the truth. This is the people who did the research that showed that black people are not at more risk from the police. Academics did the math. They're sorry for the inferences, and Crabwalker is saying they're sorry they told us the truth. Pelosi's dentures. I remember early on how the media was asking the Trump coronavirus task force when testing would be ramped up. Now that we see tests increase, they're saying cases. What is their goal? What are they pushing? Well, their goal is to scare people. I think that's self-evident from how they publish. Daring Dangerous Dave on undoing whiteness in Seattle. They're telling us at work about these anti-racism and anti-racist indoctrination sessions. Yeah. And this is where you are told, if you're a white person, if you speak too much, you're an imperialist. If you speak too little, you're committing violence. It's almost like there's no win. We'll come back on the Todd Herman Show on AM 770 KTTH and wrap up the day with a personal note.
Down on Main Street.
Personal note today, I had dinner with some friends last night who are in law enforcement, and a couple stories came up that just reminds me of cops and kids and that's interactions. And I worked at the government schools. There was a young boy who was very large. Probably my height. He was lighter than I was. This is a sixth grade boy, but he was a very large sixth grade boy, and he had a lot of problems. And our school, as I've shared with you, is the school of last resort. You had to sue kids out of the school to get them out. They had been dropped from other schools and put into this school, so we had kids who were troubled. I got a call on the radio. It was an urgent call. I ran to the gym and I saw this young boy, James, on top of a new teacher. And this teacher was maybe 5'1", very, very, slight person size wise. And James is on top of her, beating her in the face. and I ran over and I picked him up. I put my arms around him and lifted him off of her and kind of in a, like I was curling him basically, and held him close to me. And he was kicking. He knew me because I dealt with him a lot, and he had a very good rapport. So I was saying very quietly in his ear, James, it's Todd. I promise I won't hurt you. James, it's Todd. I promise I won't hurt you. I promise I will not. And so he finally calmed himself, and I set him down to sit on the heater in the gym facing me. And I'm just, I'm standing looking at him. The other teachers had come and gotten this younger teacher who had, he broke her nose in two places. And James said, he goes, I'm in a lot of trouble. And I said, yeah, buddy, you are. And he said, I'm going to go to jail. I said, yeah, you really are. And he said, she wouldn't listen to me. She wouldn't listen to me. He started to curse. And I said, James, it's so frustrating when people won't listen to you. It's really hard. And I said, let's look, I want you to be able to express yourself and stay calm. Right? Because I'll help you stay calm. If I have to control your body, I will. And I'll never hurt you. And it's, you have my promise, James, I'll never hurt you. And so he said, are the police coming? I said, yeah, bud, the police are coming. So, you know, here I'm at dinner with two officers. And I felt really bad about what I was going to say. But I said, when the police came, I said, hey, I know you guys have to do your job. Can we do this without hurting him? And they said, no one wants to hurt a kid. I said, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I know that. I was saying to James, buddy, just let them do their job. Just let them do their job. And the officer was so cool. He goes, hey, James, we're going to have to put handcuffs on you. It's just the law. It's just, you know, just the law. All right? We know you're good. We can see you're calmed down. It's just something we have to do. With that explanation, James let them put the cuffs on. And he said to me, looked me in the eye and said, can you come with me? I said, no, James, I can't, but I'll be in touch. Sued out of the school, and on the day he was leaving, he wanted to share something with me. And what he shared with me was in the principal's office. The principal was there. He lifted up the back of his shirt, and he was burned across his entire back with cigarette burns, his entire back. I said, dear Lord, James, who did this? He said, my stepdad, because I wouldn't join a gang. This is why, he said, I shouldn't have hit that lady, but she wouldn't listen to me, and I know that you won't hurt me. And the police didn't hurt James. And he said the most awful thing. You guys have never hurt me, and now I have to go to a place where people are going to hurt me. I believe completely in that with kids, redemption is important, and our role. I also believe completely that James was a danger to teachers. I can believe both things and work towards both ends, redemption and safety. The Great Rush Limbaugh Program is next. This is the Todd Herman Show. We are every weekday, 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. I will hope to see you tomorrow. Go be well, be strong, and be kind.